Hello, my precious friend. This is Pastor Verna Brown, and I am so excited that you have chosen to join us by podcast today. I pray that this message is inspiring, it's encouraging, and that it propels you further into the destiny that God has for you. Sit back and enjoy. Pastor Glenn is a wealth of wisdom. He is a well of wisdom, and he has done a lot for the kingdom. He is a discipleship master, let's just say that. He worked with Catherine Coleman for many years. And we're such a blessed house to have a spiritual father like him in it. And I just want to say publicly thank you to Pastor Glenn for the way you conduct yourself in the community. I first met you at the Mission Greater Modesto prayer meeting. It's a compilation of a lot of local pastors, and you impressed me there with your humility and your prayer, your love for prayer. And I just pray that the spirit of prayer and godliness and wisdom that is upon you is released tonight and caught. Not just that you would teach, but it would be caught. And so won't you guys just stand and welcome our own Pastor Glenn Matthews to the teach you tonight.
I'd like to start with prayer. I don't like to do anything without it. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much. I thank you for your word. Cause it to come alive tonight. Cause it to permeate each heart, to fill it with the fullness of yourself. Let your words cut through the flesh, cut through the mindsets, cut through everything, even those that are watching from afar. Go right through and touch them. Meet every need within the reach of your word tonight. And follow with signs, wonders, and miracles. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. My favorite thing to do. I love to speak for Christ. I love representing him. He is the ultimate representation of God. And he said, we're just like him. How exciting. I love the song tonight. That was what a wonderful song to close the worship with. Are you ready to give everything to Jesus? Are you? I'm going to share a part of my testimony. I can't share it all. I'd be here all day. I have almost 54 years. In January, it'll be 54 years that I'll have known Christ as my Savior. And there are people that can organize and do that and build. And that's why apostles and prophets are in the body. And we'll talk about that in a moment. But from my testimony, I love the message on giving, because this is how I met the man who gave me the call of God on my life. I went looking for the Holy Spirit, because the church I got saved in was not a church that believed in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. In fact, a man spoke from the pulpit and said that they no longer existed. They died when the apostles died. And I stood up and said no in the service. And he, of course, told me to sit down and be quiet. But I said, well, you told me to read this. This is my first assignment from God, from that pastor. Read this thing from cover to cover. Get to know the Lord that saved you. Great assignment. That was the best thing ever happened to me. Because I read it. By the time he got to that message, I'd been through it three times, cover to cover. And so when he got to that, and I was in the book of Acts when he spoke on it. from the book of Acts. And I couldn't help but stand up and say, no, that isn't true. You got to be kidding. Yeah. And so I asked him to release me to go find the Holy Spirit in where God has it. And so I went looking for the Holy Spirit. Well, to make a long story short, I ended up at a service at an Assembly of God church, and they had a guest speaker that night. And I'm looking for the Holy Spirit baptism, but instead, I get a call of God on my life. How amazing is that? And God doesn't have any special order for any of these things. I want you to know, He's God, and He does whatever He wants. That's actually my favorite scripture in all the, you know, and it's in Psalm 135, verse 10, 8, and it says, my God's in heaven, and He can do whatever He wants. And my second favorite is Ephesians 5:10. It says, try and find out what God wants. Yeah. And so these are the things that were going on. And so here I am at this service, and I had just come from, I was a part owner of a gas station, and they called it Good News Texaco because we always had scriptures up whatever those light lit up signs are. And we always have a scripture every day up there. And so my business partner, Bob Nelson, and I, we always put up scriptures every single day. So anyway, I had a customer come through. They had a great need. So I just gave them everything I had in my wallet. And so here I am at the service, and I'm wanting to give something because they said, we're going to pass the bucket around before we have our guest speaker come up. So I said, Lord, I just gave everything in my wallet away. I don't have anything. I don't even have my checkbook with me. I said, I don't have anything to give. He says, no, you're wrong. He says, I want you to put your name on a piece of paper and put it in the offering plate. And so I did. I went to my Bible. I tore a little piece off of the page in my Bible, and the one that doesn't have anything written on it. And I just tore a little piece off of it, and I wrote my name on it, and I put it in the offering plate. I just obeyed him. I didn't know what was in store. I had no idea what God was going to do with that. He is amazing. So they announced the guest speaker, Lester Summerall is his name. He comes up to the podium like this, and he says, well, before I start, he says, young man back here, and he's pointing in my direction, and he says, there is a high call of God on your life, and I need you to step out in the aisle and come up here. We need to anoint you with oil and pray for you. And I'm looking all around to see who it is that's going to get up. And he said, well, let me make it clear. He said, you're the young man to put your name on a piece of paper and put it in the offering plate tonight. That was pretty clear. That was me. And so I pointed to myself, and he said, yes, it's you. Come on up here. So I got out in the aisle. I didn't make it there. God's Spirit knocked me flat on my face. I couldn't move. I couldn't move a muscle. He had two guys go back there and get me, pick me up, and bring me up to the front. He poured a whole bottle, he goes behind here, pours the whole bottle of oil on my head. The whole bottle. And he turned to the pastor, he says, I'll replace it. Don't worry about it. And I'm drenched with oil. And I'm going, this is crazy. And I'm thinking all this. I can't really see much. All I can see is I've got these, like, gold laced wings, and I can see some feathers, and that's about all I can see. I can hear him speak, though. And so I spent the rest of the service on the floor listening to the whole sermon, and he gave a prophecy over me in the beginning. He said, God's called you to be an apostle. There are none in this area, and you're it. You're the first. So you get to go and start your work immediately. You get to start your work. And I thought, well, that's cool, you know. And then he says, you're an apostle of love. He said, I've never given a specific call. He says, but you're an apostle of love. And so that's what he said to me. The service went on, finished, and then it's not over yet. The service is over, but it's not over with me and him. He comes over, and I can see through this laced wing a hand reaching out for me. I can see it coming down. So, and I can finally move. I can reach my hand up, and I grabbed a hold of his hand, and he pulled me to my feet. And immediately I could see. I could see him. We were looking face to face. And he said, your best time, your greatest time, is you were called for the end of the age. And the reason you're called for the end of the age to be an apostle at that time is you're to make sure everybody does everything in the right attitude. And that attitude is to be the attitude of love. And you're to make sure that they stay in love. And so this is why I'm here. If you wonder why I'm here, I met these two lovely ladies at that prayer meeting that she was talking about downtown. And God said, that's the one. This is where you're supposed to be. And I said, well, yeah, she reminds me of Catherine Coleman. And he says, yeah, she's just like her. Just go. And so I told my wife, we're going to go to this church. And we've been attending Monte Vista Chapel in Turlock for quite some time. And we came here. I knew after the first service, I said, yeah, this is it. And I came back again with my wife. Actually, I came up and grabbed the microphone from you and talked to you. I wasn't afraid to do that. But I'm not afraid to do that. I'm not really afraid to do too many things. There's nothing. The only thing I'm really afraid of is God. Other than that, I'm not afraid of anything. I've skydived out of airplanes. I've climbed mountains. I used to be a search and rescue person. I've been a firefighter. I've done all kinds of crazy things. I used to jump out of smoke jumper. I used to jump out of perfectly well airplanes into fires to go fight them. And, you know, God has a design for each one of us, each and every one of us. And I just wanted to share those things so you could get to know me a little better, so you'd know who your pastor of outreach is. And my testimony is pretty lengthy, so I'm not going to dwell on that because that's way too much to cover. And you'll get to hear pieces of it other times, which is fun. But tonight's message, my wife says, you should get some notes and you should hand them in. Because I'm used to preaching without any. You can ask my wife. I never use notes. I teach prophetic, and I really don't need notes because the Holy Spirit just downloads, and I hear Him very well. You can't spend 53 years listening to Jesus and not know His voice. You do know Him. So coming into the fullness of Christ is what God gave me. In Ephesians chapter 4, in verse 13, it starts out. Well, I'm going to start in verse 11. And He has appointed some with the grace to be apostles, and some with the grace to be prophets, and some with the grace to be evangelists, and some with the grace to be pastors, and some with the grace to be teachers. And their calling is to nurture and to prepare the holy believers to do their own works of ministry. And as they do this, they will enlarge and build up the body of Christ. These grace ministries will function until we attain oneness into the faith, until we all experience the fullness of what it means to know the Son of God. And finally, we become one into a perfect man with the full dimensions of spiritual maturity and be fully developed into the abundance of Christ. And then, I'll always love, and then, and then our immaturity will end. It will end. Do you know what the Holy Spirit's after right now? for that immaturity to end. He's looking for the denominational titles, barriers to fall. He's looking for all the racial disruptions to fall. He's looking for an integrated group of believers that can identify in one thing, his son, who can be led by one voice, the Holy Spirit. If we can learn to listen to the Holy Spirit, oh, what amazing things we can do. What amazing things we can do. Huh. I could share some amazing things that God has done in and through me. But I've seen amazing things happen here. Just right here. In this church. I've seen miracles. I've probably seen more miracles in a week than most people will see in a lifetime. And I'm serious about that. I've seen thousands of miracles in one meeting. And I've been to a lot of meetings like that. A lot of them. I worked for Catherine Coleman from 1968 until she died in 1976. And I watched a lot of miracles take place. I watched your friend, Benny Hinn, come in there, always looking for her mantle. He got it. He's an interesting brother in the Lord. Love him dearly. And a lot of the people that came to those meetings, we saw a lot of very famous pastors come through there, and we went to a lot of famous pastors' places to minister. A lot of fun. But that was my testimony part. So this, the word, powerful. God has given each one of us a ministry. And it's up to those who are the foundational people to build that foundation. When I first became an apostle and people were talking about apostles and prophets, an apostle is a covering. Well, I've never seen a covering that's a foundation. Foundations, it's under the whole structure. It's what the structure is built on. And it says they're connected to the chief cornerstone, or else that building doesn't stand. I'll guarantee you, it won't stand if they're not. And so, God taught me very early. I'm going to walk a little further in my testimony just for a moment. The very first thing he gave me to do, I went home after that meeting. I fasted and prayed for 3 days. And when I got up the third day, the Holy Spirit spoke to me. He said, I want you to go out and knock on the doors in your neighborhood. And I will open the hearts of the people, and I will open the doors to their homes. And you can go in and have church with them. He says, Billy Graham tells them they need to go find the church of their choice, and you're going to find a bunch of them that didn't know what church to choose. So you're going to bring it to them. You're going to bring it right to their door and in their house. And they can become the church. And so that was what he told me. And I went out because I obey him. What he tells me to do, I'll do it. And I did. And that first week, it was amazing. God opened up 7 doors. I had 7 homes. I said, this is great. I can do a Bible study church thing every day of the week. I'm excited. And so it was so fun to go do that and get all excited with these people. And then 3 weeks later, because I was so busy doing those, I didn't have time to go knock on doors for a little bit. So God said, remind me, hey, I told you to go knock on doors. So I did. I went out and I knocked on doors that weekend again, and 3 more opened up. I go, God, this doesn't compute. There's not enough of me to do that. I said, what am I supposed to do? He says, you need to duplicate yourself. You need to raise up someone to do this with you. And I said, okay. I said, but they're all kind of new. He says, no. Some of those saints that you have Bible study in their home, they've known the Lord for a long time. They got saved. They've been reading their Bible. You've heard what their testimony was. They're ready to be used by you and me. Let's just point them to the leadership of that study. So I did. I said, well, then what am I supposed to do? If they're going to teach those Bible studies, that's a good idea. What do I do? He says, you have two meetings a week, and you train leaders. You equip them with how, and answer all the problems they're having and all the questions they have. And so that's what I did. I just obeyed him. And that was so fun. That was my start. That's how I started. And I started only 10 of those Bible studies. In 2 years' time, we had 32 of them. You know what happened? They went out, knocked on doors just like I did with them, and opened up. God opened up 22 other homes. And we had 32 home groups, 32 home churches. And I've been teaching them all. I said, God's going to plant all of you in a local church. It's just as soon as you're ready. And so this was 2.5 years later, God speaks to me. He says, okay, now I want you to give that ministry away. I said, who am I supposed to give it to? He says, the apostles here in the Santa Clara Valley. I said, okay. I said, I thought there weren't any. He says, there is now. You need to go find them. So I did. I went and I looked. I knocked on doors. I talked to pastors. Oh, we've got program this, program that. We don't have time. I don't know what you want. And what? Discipleship? What's that? And you have to understand, in 1970, nobody knew what that was. They had no clue. I've been doing it since 1968. I've been discipling people. It was fun. But they didn't know it. And so I finally found a pastor that would do that. And that was neat. I planted those in his church. He took 11 of those leaders and started satellite churches of his church up and down the West Coast. It was powerful. I've visited them all. They're still all in existence. It's really neat to see God use the work that you started and to expand it. And he said he had another assignment for me. Sent me off up to Humboldt County. Crazy. What in the world do you want with me in this God-forsaken place up here? And he says, reach down, grab a handful of sand off that beach. Reach down, grab another handful. And so he says, now I want you to empty them out onto the beach again. And he said, as many grains of sand as were in your hands are the amount of people you're going to bring and disciple in my kingdom. And I remember telling Pastor Verna this. She took me out after that statement and announced me the pastor of outreach to everybody in the foyer. And I said, and then she made this comment before she went, though. She said, you haven't even finished the first handful. And I haven't. I really haven't. I've made a lot of disciples in my day, but I haven't even finished the first handful. But God has a lot of people coming in. And this next year is a year of doing that. You're going to see a move of God like the whole earth has not seen a move of God like this before. The day of Pentecost is just a touch in the bucket compared to what's going to happen. It's the start. It's what we have to look at and look to for reference. But they couldn't even keep up hardly with what they had going on. Imagine when God brings in 100-fold times that in a day. You can't, it's hard to imagine. But that's what's going to happen. So, how do we become world changers? Good question, huh? I love questions. I ask God questions all the time. He and I talk a lot. The problem with asking questions is you have to listen, because he does answer. And when he talks back, you better be listening, or you won't know what to do. And I mean that very seriously. And in order to do that, you have to have an intimate relationship with him. And this is what I love about my pastor. I told God a long time ago, I can't have anybody mentor me that doesn't have an intimate relationship with God as much as I do. or even greater. And I'm going to guarantee you, this woman of God has a relationship with God like very few people I know. And I can say that very, very freely. There's not too many people that have that kind of relationship. You're in good hands. You're in really good hands. I'm in good hands. And then you have to do whatever he tells you to do. Whatever he tells you to say. Whatever he tells you to speak. God's told me some crazy things in my day. I remember knocking on doors in a town, and we had a man, he's about 6'8", 6'9", answered the door. He had to duck under the door to say hi to me. And he's got the screen door propped open, and he said, "Why are you here?" I said, "Well, I'm here to talk to you about the kingdom of God." "My mom send you?" I said, no, she didn't send me. I said, "Your mom didn't send me." I said, "Jesus sent me." He said, "Well, I don't want to talk about religion." I said, "Well, I'm not talking about religion." I said, "I'm talking about Jesus, the person, Jesus. Have you received him in your life?" He said, "I don't want to talk about it." He's ready to shut the door. God says, "Put your foot in the door." I said, "You got to be kidding me. Put my foot in the door." Well, I didn't say it out loud, but I just put my foot in the door. And he says, "Do you realize I could crush you?" I said, "I was thinking that earlier, but I said, you know, God told me to put my foot in the door because he's not through with you yet." He says, "Oh, my mom had to send you." I said, "Well, you know, she might have, through prayer, sent me to your door. And that's probably why I'm here." But I said, "You need to receive Jesus." And I said, "So what's wrong with your wife?" He said, "Well, that's why I wasn't too interested." He said, "My wife got her leg broke today. And so I was, you know, I'm upset about that." And I said, "Well, let me come in and pray for her." So I come in, I pray for her. Her leg, she's burning up. It's burning. It's on fire. "Oh, what's going on?" I said, "God's healing your leg." I said, "Go to the doctor tomorrow. You'll find out it's not broken anymore. It's healed." And she did. The guy looked, he found out where I was, and he came to me, and he said, "My wife's leg is totally healed. They took the cast off. It's she can walk. See, she's right here. She's with me." And I said, "Yeah." I said, "I told you God healed her. I knew it. You know, I could feel the fire go out of me. I'm going to feel the fire go out of me tonight again for healing. There are people listening, and there are people here in this room need healing. And if you need healing, it's here. It's present right now, here tonight, to flow out. It's fire. It'll feel just like fire." The neat thing about God telling you to go and say and do something is he confirms it with signs, wonders, and miracles. I got to see plenty of them happen through Catherine, but it was fun when I got to see them happen through me. When God got to use little old me, when he got to use my kids would pray for people. It'd be so fun to watch God heal and knock people over, big people, you know, bit taller than me, bigger than me. They'd fall like trees. Little kids, 5, 6 years old, bam, they'd fall down. And number three is learn to live what you've been taught. The point A is application. We have to be doers of the word, not just hearers of the word. God told me you need to do what the word says. Trouble with today's pulpits is we have too many messengers delivering messages they've never even lived. They've never even demonstrated what they're teaching. So they have no power behind the words that are coming out of their mouth. They have no life in the words that are going to the people. So there's no life coming into the people. And there's nothing that's going to go out of that church that's going to be life-giving. And God is looking for life. He's looking for people in his church to come alive and for the people they touch in the community to come alive. And this is how it's going to happen in this next year. The church has been awakened, but now she's going to come alive. She's going to come alive. Yeah. Pastor Didi was sharing in there tonight, and I heard that same thing with Sidney Powell. And just the admonition to the church is, keep your churches open. 73 million people praising God, getting into the power of God and releasing God. Don't worry about what they're going to try and do to you. It's what you're going to do to them. Ha ha! Yeah! Come on! Yeah. And the second point is multiplication. God wants to add to his body. He does everything through multiplication. He doesn't take away. He adds to. It says he has given us abundant life. Yeah, the enemy's here to steal, to take away, to destroy, to kill. That's his purpose. Now, Jesus' purpose was to give us life and life abundantly. And he doesn't desire that anybody perish. He doesn't want anybody to die, anybody to be left out at all. As many as will come are going to come into the kingdom of God. And God does everything in his body through duplication. It's amazing. He looked at all of creation, all of it. And he saw it and he said it was good. And then he saw something that wasn't. Here was man, all by himself, and he could not reproduce after his own kind. So he put him to sleep. And it says he took out a piece of him. And he made woman. And they were flesh of flesh, bone of bone, one and the same, male and female, still man. Before God. And now they had the ability to reproduce like everything else in creation after their own kind. Only it didn't happen in the beauty of the Garden of Eden. It happened outside of it. It happened in a world of sin, which was created by their disobedience to God's only order to them. Isn't that amazing? He only told them not to do one thing, and that's the one thing that the enemy convinced them to go do. How crazy is that? But, you know, it's still happening. And God wants it to end. He wants it to stop. He wants people to come into right order, come into right relationship, come into right purpose, come into right dimension with him so that they can operate, work, and be who they're supposed to be. So the world can see him. Through us, we are a reflection of the very image of God. And people are looking. They are looking at Christians. And they've been looking and seeing a lot of wrong things. But not after this hour. This hour, everything changes. He had a whole redo, a whole reset on the church that took place this year. If you wondered why, who knows what the purpose is behind the whole COVID thing for everything else evil the enemy is using it for, but God used it to bring people into an intimate place in family, in relationship with him, and with relationship with each other. And to find out their purpose, to find out their place, to find out who they are, to find out who they are as a family, to find out how close they are or how close they're not. And so we have to learn and live what we've been taught. Huh. That's not easy to do. Not very easy at all to do. And the fourth point I had was remain and do everything from the right attitude. And the Beatitudes are in Matthew 5, and it's 1 through 16. And there's so many different attitudes we need to be in. And they're really the only thing that you can say about the Beatitudes is those are the attitudes you should be in. And, you know, I've never been afraid of correction. I love correction. And in discipleship training, I had to do a lot of correction. And people would always say, well, I took care of that myself. And I'm going to tell you, if you're a person like that that said, well, I'll take care of it and then I'll come tell them. I said, no. I say, no, it's not done. I said, anything that's not done under authority is not done. It's just not done. If you have things that need correction, you need to be corrected by authority, or you're really not complete, because you never had to submit to something. You never had to obey something. And so it's still there. It's still hidden. And it'll come up again and again and again and again. It'll be kind of like the children of Israel walking around the mountain 40 years, coming up to the promised land and never going in. And they never do get to go in. They all die in the wilderness, except for the children. And the two guys that said they could do it. Joshua and Caleb, my favorite friends. I love them. I'm doing good. I'll wrap it up here. Holy Spirit, you're really good. I like how you do things. So, the challenge is, what's God telling you? What's He telling you to do? What's He called you to be? We were talking in the prayer room one day about coming to God. The reason you come to God is so that you can become like God. You have to come to become. That's how you get the Beatitudes. You become. Because you're living the Beatitudes. God's wanting to change the church into His very likeness and image. He's wanting them to drop everything that's hindering them, that's holding the Spirit back from drawing men into her. He said, unless I be lifted up from the earth, if He's lifted up from the earth, then it says the Holy Spirit can draw all men unto Him. But if He's not being lifted up from this earth, right here, this terra firma, right here, and those terra firmers out there, then the Spirit can't do much at that point. Because that's His word, He spoke it, and He has to operate by it as well. And so he's waiting, He says, I'll draw near to you, but the next step is ours. He says, you have to draw near to me. And so we have to come near to God if we're going to expect anything at all to happen. And I'm just crazy enough to do anything that He tells me. Seriously, I am. I've done some very crazy things in my day. I've had pastors tell me, you're insane. How can you do that? How do you do that? I said, well, look at the fruit. And that's what they could never deny. They could never deny the fruit. And I love when God tells us to do things and they're crazy. And they think we're absolutely crazy. And I've been called a heretic and crazy. And I remember when I first went witnessing, I'd go witness, I'd just walk into a bar and just start passing out tracts and witnessing, sharing with people. Said, well, what makes you think you want to hear? I said, you're here to tell the bartender all your woes and whatever. Why don't you just talk to Jesus? Tell me about it. I'll pray with you. We'll work it out. We'll pray for your deliverance. We'll set you free. You'll be a new man. You'll be a new woman. I'd walk out of there with people. And these pastors say, you're crazy. What are you doing? I said, well, I am probably crazy. But that's okay. It's a good crazy. Because I'm winning souls to the Lord. While you guys are thinking I'm crazy. Yeah. Yeah. And so, you know, we've got to do crazy things sometimes. And so if thoughts come across your mind from the Holy Spirit, and it doesn't sound like it's what anybody else would do, maybe He didn't tell anybody else to do it but you. And maybe you're the one who's supposed to be crazy enough to go do it. So go try it and see what happens. That's what I did. I tried it, and it worked. It worked. I love God. Ah, I love Him. Yeah. So if you're watching out there and you have not received, if you have not received Jesus as your personal Savior, as the Lord over your life, as the one that sits on the throne of your heart, as the one that you give complete and total control of your life to, then we want to give you an opportunity to receive Him tonight. If you're being tormented by things constantly, and you're being harassed by voices, or maybe even by people with voices, it could be any of those things. Or maybe it's just an addiction that's got a hold of you, and you haven't got a hold of it. Whatever the case, sozo means that you could be saved. You could be set free. You could be made completely and totally new. Come on, it's almost New Year. It's time to be new in the new year. Receive Jesus. Pray with me. Pray after me these words. Father, I just receive Jesus in my heart. I place Him on the throne of my life. And I surrender that life to Him. Fill me with Your Holy Spirit. And direct my life how You want me to go. And I will follow. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. You will never, ever, ever be the same again if you prayed that prayer. Let us know if you have. And if you have, you need to get connected. You need to get connected to somebody that's connected to the foundation stone of Jesus. You need to get a hold of a building that is built on the right foundation so that you can grow into everything of spiritual maturity that Jesus has for you. He has in store for you great and mighty things. Are you ready to go do them? Are you ready to meet Him and find Him along the way? Are you ready to help others? Are you ready to duplicate yourself when the time comes? Are you ready to go out and help Him multiply the kingdom of God and share what you had come into you with others? Because when He makes a change, I know I had to tell all my friends. They weren't my friends for long. Some of them didn't want to hear what I had to say. Jesus saved me. But you know, that's okay. I found out they weren't my friends. And I had a friend that was better than a friend. He's closer than a friend. Amen. He's closer than any friend I've ever had. And He walks right inside me. He walks right alongside me. And He directs me in everything I go to do. You've got to have Him. You need Him. I need Him. I can't do anything without Him. Don't leave home without Him. Make Him your home. Thank you. Thank you so much for your time. I love you. God loves you. Blessings.
Well, we'd like to thank you for joining us today. Thanks to those who give generously to this ministry. It's because of you that makes this ministry possible. You can click the link below in the description box to give now or visit soulharvestwc.org/podcast for more information. If you've enjoyed this podcast, you can subscribe. You could also share with your friends. Click the share button, take a screenshot, and also share in your social media stories and tag us at SoulHarvestWC. Thanks again for listening, and God bless.